Welcome back to the Locker Room Access Podcast. I'll do a quick round of introductions. I'm TW. We got Mark Jerome back from his AEU stint, taking a little break. Appreciate you jumping on. We've got Dougie Fresh Smith there in Jersey and Phony Bennett in the 757. And today's special guest is brought to you by Murray Inc. Real Estate, our guy Connor Murray. If you're looking for real estate property, make sure you contact him. We've got all his link in description. He now covers both Virginia and North Carolina. So if you're in that North Carolina area, he's got a bunch of properties. Take a look. His Instagram is incredible. Make sure you check him out. He's our guy. He made today's guest possible. And before we have Jaden jump on, I just wanted to play a little clip from Houston versus East Carolina, the post game. You've got Kelvin Sampson, and here's what he had to say about Jaden.
I just love Jaden Gardner. That kid, you know, if you could just take a stamp and put winner on him, that's what he is. He's just a winner. You know, there's a lot of ways to evaluate rebounders, but he just has great intangibles. Guys that can't rebound, and I don't care how tall you are or how high you jump, they're usually not where the ball is. Wherever the ball is, that's usually where Jaden Gardner is. You know, we were the number one rebounding team in the nation coming in here. Now you think about it, we've won at Wichita State, we've won at the University of South Carolina, we won the tournament in Hawaii, beating Georgia Tech, Washington. I mean, we played against a lot of teams. But Gardner's the best player we've played against. We played against nobody that is more difficult, because you don't know who to put on him. You know, we came in with a brilliant game plan. We threw that out of the window in 3 minutes. That one didn't work. We said, okay, well, let's go to this. That one didn't work either. He's tough. He's a really, really good player. He struggles with certain things, but his heart is so big. I just love him.
There we go. That was Kelvin Sampson talking about it. That's pretty cool, right? That doesn't get you excited about next season. I don't know what will. So
I didn't know you were related to Coach Sampson.
Thank you for joining us, Jaden. Welcome to UVA.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been good. It's been good experiences down here so far.
Jaden, this is Mark Jerome. We are all pleased to have you as part of the family. And also really happy to have you as part of on the podcast. We've had a number of players, coaches, and a few other special people join us. So there's been a lot of fanfare. There's been a lot of talk about you coming, transferring into UVA. And when Kelvin, I've always respected Kelvin Sampson as a coach, and he's always had a lot of success. So it's really great to hear him speak of you so highly. What was your experience like at ECU, and what was the deciding factor for you to transfer? And how did you, I'm going to give you three at one time, and I'll help you remind you in case you forget. And how did you end up selecting Virginia?
So my experience at East Carolina was good. It was good to be near home, close to my family. When it came down to the decision, that was one of my main factors, my family coming to see me play. About an hour and 10 minute drive from home, get to play in a really good conference, get to play against some high class opponents. I was very successful, like individually, my 3 years there. And my deciding factor to leave is just, I just felt like I did everything I could there. And I wanted to experience something different. I wanted to experience winning intangibles and learning culture and stuff like that in college basketball. And just try to help showcase my abilities to the fullest extent. And that's playing in the ACC for one of the best coaches in the world. Then Virginia, deciding factor was definitely the coach playing in the ACC, wanting to grow up, always growing up in ACC country. I was born in Durham, North Carolina. So I was born in Duke Hospital. It's just growing up in ACC country. You got the Carolina, you got Duke, you got State. So it's just, that's a dream to play in the ACC. And then when you got Virginia, one of the best team in the ACC last year and the last 10 years winning wise, it's just hard to pass up that opportunity to come play for Virginia.
Out of state and UNC and Duke, which team are you looking forward most to playing against?
Duke for sure.
Always. Were you overlooked in high school? You were a huge scorer. I know that. Continue to be a huge scorer. I didn't realize you played 3 years at ECU. Did you feel like you were overlooked by the ACC or just some dumb coaches down there or what?
I was under recruited probably high major wise. I mean, I had 30 Division I offers from tons of mid major schools and stuff mm-hmm. like that. The only high major I had was Penn State. But they used ACC country. It was pretty dry.
Well, you're in now. Yeah. At the right spot too. Congrats. What about leaving ECU? I have a feeling the kind of guy, just listen to that interview, the kind of guy you are, I think it was probably amicable. Did your coach, agree with it? Was he okay with it? Obviously sad. I did want you to go for sure, but, supportive in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, most of the coaches were supportive. I mean, it's hard because I was the guy that, to look towards, to lead. And a foundational piece to build on. So it was a hard decision. I didn't want to leave, but ultimately I have to do what's best for me and my family at the end of the day.
No doubt.
What did Tony Bennett tell you he wanted you to do here? Like, how did he think you can help the team?
He loved my toughness right away. And he thinks I have a knack to score the basketball. And he said, we know we're going to need scoring this year. And then he also sees some potential in me on the other side of the ball. And that's another reason why I chose to come here, to get better on the other side of the ball so I can become a good two-way player. So it was a lot of mutual interest between me and him. And it was just a great relationship built. Sadly off Zoom, but it was a good relationship built.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you talk strengths and weaknesses with him? Did he show you video?
Yeah. We went over videos with me, him, my dad, and Kyle. Just went over videos side by side, comparisons to some players, and just, things to get better on, stuff to work out.
What particularly did he think, did he ask you or think that you need to work on?
Just work on, continue to knock down my three-point shooting, as well as defense and just some IQ stuff, because turnovers is high when you have the ball in your hands for the majority of the game, but just work on some turnover type stuff situations.
And you really you put it on the floor well too. You're probably our best dribbling, I'd say, big man last 5 years from what I've seen.
So I
could see that.
Don't tell that to Mamadi. Okay.
Mamadi just figured out how to dribble in the NBA. He couldn't dribble before. He could dribble twice. And that was it. I just watched a bunch on Jay here. He can go a lot to the right, by the way, but we'll get the left better, I'm sure.
what about the transition to UVA? People talk about the working on defense and the pack line and all that. Has it been a real thing? Have you seen it, felt a big adjustment for coming from ECU?
What I've grasped from it so far is just your heart and your effort, and just trust, because you have to trust that your teammates are going to be there to help you if you get beat in a certain position, and your teammates are trusting you to send the guy a certain way. So I think it's all just about your effort, your heart, and just trust. So that's what I've taken from it so far.
I think a lot of guys, when they hit grounds, one of the first things team wants them to do is get in the gym with Coach Curtis, get in the weight room with Coach Curtis. But you are already a big dude. What has Mike Curtis got you working on, or is he like, nah, you're good?
No, he's just MC is a very technical guy, so we're cleaning up technical stuff right now because he likes stuff done a certain way. And yeah, I kind of want a lot of strength, and people applaud the way my physique is so far, because I'm very cut up. So that's good to already have that to my disposal. So just cleaning up some other stuff and hopefully get even better. And I know I'm going to get better with him as my strength coach.
Best. How much of a green light do you have for shooting threes? You mentioned that Coach Bennett wants you to shoot threes. How does that work on their offense? Like for the fans, what are they expecting?
I mean, all I can say is I'm working on it. My stroke looks really good right now. Yep. Everybody knows I can shoot it. So that's what I'm saying.
There we go.
You've had a lot of success with ECU since your first year. What, you know, at other schools, they call it freshman. At UVA, they call it first year. It took me a while to comprehend that. I had to be reminded and corrected multiple times. So your first year at ECU, you averaged 16 points a game. Second year, 20, just under 20. And last year, 18 points.
A lot of points.
A lot of points.
I don't care where you play.
UVA hasn't had too many scores in the, I don't know. When's the last time we had a 15-point score average? Was it Kyle?
Maybe Malcolm. Ty, Kyle, Dre, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Dre didn't. It's a different style. It's a different style of offense, right? It's a much slower pace. Did you guys talk about that, you and the coaching staff?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different style and a different way to utilize our strengths. And I saw it, he's hitting on things will like change a little bit, you know, some different schemes. The way he wants to play is a little bit different this year, but still the people that are expected to produce on that side of the ball will probably have some, you know, more play call driven towards them. So I'm not really worried about it. It's just with me, it just became natural to me. Like it's just natural to score. Cause I have great footwork. My teammates has always set me up really well. And you know, Kie is a general. So we gotta worry about that. Everyone's sharing the ball right now. So it'll be fine.
And I'm not trying to prepare you for any, you know, being upset if you don't get a shot. I happen to think that I love the program. I'm a huge proponent of it, right? I watched three kids in 1 year get drafted, which is having one kid you get drafted in a program is high, and then three at one year is phenomenal. So I'm always going to talk positively about the program. And I watched a lot of video on you. And what do you think your biggest concern? What are your biggest concerns, or if you have any, of making the jump from ECU to UVA and playing in the ACC?
My biggest concerns.
Do you have any concerns? Do you think that you'll have a tough time scoring? Do you think you'll have a harder time scoring on some guys who might be a little bit more athletic in the ACC, longer arms, big, maybe a bit taller, stronger, faster?
One of the things that we talked about when we were getting recruited is always, not even college, but just always, the better the competition that I play against is usually the better I play. So the competition standpoint, it's all about confidence and just trusting your work. And I've always been a big believer in trusting my work. But yeah, some of my biggest games against some of the best opponents in our conference. I mean, Taco Fall, I had 35-20. Houston, I had back-to-back monster performances against them, 20 rebounds, 18 rebounds, you know, 20 plus points, Wichita State, Memphis. Those are some really good programs. So I don't get caught up into, he's so much bigger than me. I just go out there and let my work do the talking for itself.
How did you feel when you saw Houston show up on the schedule? Eyes light up a little bit.
I'm pretty sure they won't be happy to play me again. I never expected. I thought I was done playing them, but it should be fun. It's always fun. That's always a game I look forward to because of how good they were. And like we always said when we played against them, we have to match their energy on the glass and be as tough as them. And we ultimately did that in two games. And the two games that were close, my sophomore year, lost by like eight, is when I had 20 rebounds against them and matched them. And then last year when we won against them, we matched their energy on the glass. And so it's always fun competing against Houston because they're really relentless on the glass, tough, physical, smash mouth type basketball. They miss it, they're going right back up with the offensive rebound. They're crashing to the glass. You know, it's a slugfest. But I like games like that.
Yeah, it seems like you like it, so that's good.
And then what about Coach K? You know, he announcing this is his last year. Now you get to come in ACC country and play him on his, I don't know what you want to call it, going away season. I don't know. It's kind of weird. But what are your thoughts on that? That big deal doesn't matter?
Nah, it's surreal. It's surreal to be able to do that. I mean, like I said, with the ACC, growing up in ACC country, it's a dream to just be able to play in the ACC and play against Hall of Fame coaches and people that you looked up to growing up. So it's going to be surreal. Even stepping in that floor, playing against them, playing against that jersey, it's going to be surreal.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be one to remember for sure. Mark, we might have to make another trip. Cameron and Dora.
Yeah, I'll meet you guys down there.
You know, it really is a once in a lifetime that everybody should get a chance to experience.
Yeah. Yep, I'll never go back in that arena again, for the record. I won my last game in there, and that's it. Goodbye.
That's amazing to play there.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool.
You had to experience that.
Yeah.
Right. And when? Oh, yeah.
We play there. We were home and away every year, Marky, in the ACC when it was real.
Right.
Yeah, and we got them my last year.
Yeah. That's amazing.
We used to always beat them at home, but they'd always get us a Cameron. My last year, we got them. We swept them. So I'm good. I'm good with Cameron, but you'll enjoy it, Jay.
Yeah, it's gonna be a big one.
And don't let those coaches get in your head. They're sneaky, man. Coach Sampson, he's going to come up to you, tell you how great you are. Don't listen to all that. Just get him again.
I'm digging into some of these advanced stats, which Marky hates, but I love.
Here we go.
And well, one of the things I think fans are going to be excited about is you get to the line a lot, and that's been a problem with some past UVA teams. Yeah. Is it just are you aggressive on offense, but you're drawing six fouls per game? What's your secret?
It's not James Harden type secret. I draw a lot of attention, and I've usually been good with drawing fouls, getting contact from the opponents. I mean, my freshman year, I was leading the NCAA in free throw attempts all the way to like February. So I've always been a knack at just drawing fouls and getting defenders to bite off moves. I have a lot of counters, so I get a lot of defenders with some moves and stuff like that.
So what inspired you to play the way you play? Like, how did basketball get into your life in a serious manner?
I mean, Kobe Bryant is the reason why I picked up a basketball. And he was just phenomenal just watching, just growing up. That was just my favorite player. I bled purple and gold. And so just going into it and just when it got serious, let me see, when basketball got serious is probably seventh grade. I got serious about basketball. I always played it. I used to play just to, you know, lose weight, stuff like that. But it, like, just playing it, it was just like, this is something that I can do. And I always got better. I never got worse. So I just kept playing it, you know what I mean? Just kept adding stuff year after year. And I got better year after year. And I just got my first scholarship to play at, my first offer was JMU. So I was like, wow, this is real. So
that's cool.
My sophomore year. So I just ran with it.
Nice.
Motivation.
I mean, the reason I asked is you kind of have like a throwback game and how today's game has changed. It's really cool to see the way you play and you're thriving in a way that, you know, a lot of people probably wouldn't think about doing. Now it's just all Steph Curry, LaMelo three, half court, whatever. So that's kind of why I was wondering. Was there a coach or a game you modeled after when you started playing, getting serious?
I remember when I was young, I watched a lot of Hakeem Olajuwon to like get my footwork better.
There we go.
I watched a lot of, I watched the Charles, And then like, and then when we start getting to like high school, I lost a lot of Boogie Cousins. It was because he was phenomenal to me. He was just so like surreal. This is back when he's like 28, 10, 6. He was just for surreal.
Great. And football. He puts the ball on the floor a lot too. Like yeah, the way you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yo, Phony, he's a stats guy, by the way. Jalen's brought up stats like 5 times. This might be a match for you.
Oh, I love it. I love everything about the game. I love the aggressiveness. We were talking a lot when you first committed about the need for a guy on the team that's got that dog in him that's just gonna get after it. You know, do you think you can bring along the other players like that with your aggressiveness as kind of a model for them?
Usually I'm a lead by example guy. So the way I play, physically has always set the tone for with the teammates I play with. They just my physicality, I match it, and just like when the game starts, it's just I just go into like a whole different like mode and mindset, and just you know what I mean. I'm just out there giving it all relentlessly. And I'm just keep going. So that's usually how things go.
What's it like for you? You're a first year player, not a first year student, but a first year player on a new team. And so, you know, you said Kihei's there. Other guys have been around. How do you transition into that leadership role as an upperclassman, right? Because you're not a rookie or whatever.
Yeah.
And we need it.
Just there's a time to get on people when stuff is just like, you know, come on, we got to get through this, or you know, we expect something greater because we're trying to do something great, you know what I mean? So just holding your teammates accountable, that's probably a big thing, holding teammates accountable for me, and as well as making sure I do things right so I can be someone that can be the right example for people.
You can have a voice for sure.
Did the coaches talk to you about needs for this year? I mean, I think it's no secret that one of the things missing last year was defensive toughness and leadership and ability to communicate, which could have resulted from the COVID year, not having an opportunity to practice and not play together. And watching your video, I mean, you're a tough defender. You're a tough kid on the court, offensively and defensively. Did they mention anything to you about that?
Yeah, toughness. Yeah, they talked about what they was lacking last year, just toughness, lack of free throw shooting, inside presence, more of a voice. So, yeah, they talked about stuff like that.
But you have all over it. You played 3 years. Do you see yourself as a senior, or you maybe it's way too early to tell? Do you think you'll be a 4-year player or a 5-year player?
I just gotta let, you know, I gotta let things play out to how it plays out. You know, anything's possible. So if I see myself bettering myself to come back 1 year, I for sure will. But I can't see into the future what could happen.
You know, no, you're coming back. Stop. You're gonna love Charlottesville. You're gonna love the school. We're not one and done yet.
Yeah, sure.
You got Mike Curtis.
If he's got a couple of mil on the table.
No, he
got
to do it.
Man, he's going to be walking around grounds getting attention from Mike Curtis.
You going to give him that $2 million so he comes back?
Depends on how long he wants to be friends with me, Marky. That's all.
NIL, I mean.
I'm selfish.
Right, exactly, Dougie. You, at least T-Dub just said you can go get him sponsorship deals.
We got to have some double-double deal for him or something. Every double-double.
We got to work it off. Yeah, that brings up another question. And now you've been in Charlottesville for 1 month now. What are some spots that you hit up in terms of food and hanging out? Like, have you explored a little bit?
The place I've been to the most with the guys is probably Mel's Kitchen. That's probably number one. The best spot I've been to is probably Sakura, Hibachi. Oh, yeah. Cook in front of you. That's probably the best place I've been to. That was amazing.
Those spots are expensive.
Oh yeah,
Hibachi. Oh. Be careful, Hibachi. They always put the tip in too. They try to get you to tip them twice. Be careful.
It was good. It was team sponsored. It was good.
They got some people.
20 now. They're not worried about, you know, wasn't the 19.
Oh, I know. You played. Dude, I heard Reese and Chase saying we go out to eat all the time. I'm like, go out to eat? You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Out to eat, take your friends out. They're last the big time spenders now, Dougie.
Yeah, man. Talking about paying their car insurance on their pre diem and shit. Good for them.
Oh, this in a long time. Everybody freeze for a second.
I'll clean it up. I cleaned it up.
Just that bell,
Dougie cursing bell, Jaden. Every time Dougie curses.
Yeah. The young guys, I'm trying to keep it clean. Time.
Not because Dougie hasn't cursed. It's been a long time since I've been able to get on a podcast.
How about what are your thoughts on the pillars? All the players make a big deal of that, and it is a big deal. The fan base loves it. You know, I forgot what they are. Unity, servants, something. Humble. No F-bombs on podcasts and something else. What are your thoughts on that, the culture of the program that, you know, Coach Bennett obviously leads?
No, the culture is great. And I think it's based on a lot of good things that help build a great program. And, you know, just Coach Bennett being a Christian and myself being a Christian is just stuff that is just, it's always been expected. You know what I mean? Growing up in a household that goes to church, it's just, those are just values taught to you. And just as you grow older, the values, it just sticks with you. So you know how to act, you know how to be proper, you know how to respect people and respect things as you're given. So it's very humbling to see stuff like that as you get older. And then that's what you do when you teach the next generation how to live.
Right. So a month in now, has anything surprised you in terms of, I don't know, good or bad?
Surprise me? I think it's too early. Not yet. It's too early.
I like that.
You sell your ECU gear yet?
My ECU gear.
Are you supposed to sell that?
No. Are
you? Oh, you can't do that?
I don't think you can sell team official gear
until not yet.
Until you graduate. That's true.
Yeah. Good call though. Always looking out for those NIL opportunities.
Yeah, man, it's exciting.
No, we really appreciate it. We say we're gonna cut it to 30 minutes. We're right at 30 minutes, so we really appreciate you jumping on. I was going to add at the end here for you, Fresh, what education can you give about 90s UVA basketball before we leave?
It was basically the golden era of Virginia basketball. We had the best gear, the best players. It was a lot like it is now. If you know Jeff Jones, I'm sure, at Old Dominion, Brian Stith. Mm-hmm. Those Jeff was the coach, Brian was our best player, all those, you know, Junior Burrow down there at, in the same area now. Coach Willie, Jay Willie on that team, but we were the same thing. We could get about 3.5 of the pillars done at certain times. The over under was 3, but we couldn't get all 5. But we were, you know, we played a lot of defense, played hard. You know, Bryant's game's a lot like yours in terms of toughness. You know, and if you can become as good as him, then we're all good.
And then last question again, Phony, best hair on the team. Where is now that you've seen Jay in person, how does he rank?
I mean, it really depends on which haircut Kihei is sporting on
it. It does.
This will edge out some of Kihei's dues, but not others. So, you know, I think that's going to have to be a game time decision. Yeah, but I'm digging it though, man.
Yeah, I like it. It's gonna rank up there. Again, appreciate Connor Murray, realtor at Sotheby's. We'll again link all that below. You being from North Carolina, your folks need a place, hit him up. He's our guy. And appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Thanks a lot, Jay. Look forward to
meeting. Thanks, man. Good luck.
Thanks.
See you down here this year.
All right, for sure. I'll be looking for you.
You can take me to Mel's. I can't pay, though.